Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you all on this blessed Sunday night. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity once again to share the very Word of God again with you. I want to go into prayer before I continue on any further, and then we'll go into the Word of God. Amen. Praise be to God. So wherever you're listening to me at, why don't you join in with me and let's pray. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for another blessed day in the Lord. We're grateful, Lord God, this opportunity you have given unto us to take this journey once again into the Word of God. Lord God, we petition you that your Spirit will be with us. And therefore, Lord, we know that you are all wise and all knowing. Therefore, Lord, we petition the one whose Spirit can give us revelation. So therefore, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you would have mercy upon us and let your Spirit be with us and reveal to us what thus says the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we will give you glory and honor and praise, and we magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. We thank God for another blessed day in the Lord. I want to thank God for all of you that are listening to this broadcast. And it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at, and it doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. Now, I'm going to give you the phone number, which is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Given this phone number because if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. And for those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. The GODSWRD, the number 2MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So now, as we have opened up with prayer, we're going to go into the message today. And once again, as I said to those who've been listening, even last week, I have been going forth to submit more unto the Lord. And as a believer, if you never see any that there's any need of more improvement in your life, then you're in trouble. If you look at yourself and say you're there, you're in trouble. And so I've been coming before the Lord and submitting more to the leading of his Spirit. And so once again, I was praying the other day and wanted to know from the Lord what to bring on the broadcast today. Now, there's another thing that he's having me work on the side that I'll be coming out with, Lord say the same soon. But in between time, I wanted to know what else would he have me to bring. And so he started dealing with me on this particular message here. And this message especially goes to everyone who is professing to be a believer of Christ. And the message is, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. I'm just taking a pause so that can sink in. And I'm going to say it again. This message, once again, is to everyone who are professing to be a believer of Jesus. And the message is, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Now, some of you may say, well, Brother Nate, I already know this. Okay? And some of you may say, well, if God gave you that message to give to his people, and let's say some of us already know, why would he give such a message? And that's a good question. Because I come to understand about the Lord that if God starts telling you something that you already know, and I need you to hear this. If God starts telling you something you already know, whether he told you in his word to do something, however, if he tells you something you already know, The first thing you must understand is that God does not speak in vain. There is nothing wrong with him. You know, that's the first thing you must remember, that he doesn't speak in vain. So if he tells you something that you already know, get this, either you're not doing it or you're not catching the revelation and understanding. I say it again. If God is telling you something that, quote, you already know, then either you're not doing it or you're missing the revelation about what he says concerning it. That's why I know that some of you in hearing this message may say, well, you know, I already know that, you know, blah, blah, blah. But God sends out such a message because he wants his people to understand that when he talks about in Matthew 17 that Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things, that's not one thing. That's all things, like it says. And that includes his people, okay? The people of God must be restored to standing in the place as sons of God and being led by the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Because, and God gave me the understanding of why he sent out such a message, because there are those who are professing to be believers, but not being led by the Spirit of God. So God's message is his sons are led by his Spirit. There are some who don't want to be led by the Spirit. Okay? Even though they're claiming to be, quote, church folks or claiming to believe in Jesus. But when it comes down to doing something, you do not notify God. You spend no time with him. You go do what you feel must be done. And the sad thing about it, some of God's people are turning to and become more lenient upon secular information than they are godly information. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So tonight, I'm going to bring four witnesses before you to let you know that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And one thing I come to understand is that when you think you know something and the Lord is sending it forth, search it out anyhow. And many times we'll come to find out that God can reveal more to you from that scripture than what you knew. So always leave yourself room for improvement with God. Because the moment you start thinking you dare, you're in trouble. Hallelujah. Now, I want to present before you first what I call setup scriptures. And they're setup scriptures because as I go into the witnesses, you will see where these scriptures would need to be or would be helpful. Now, if you have a pencil and piece of paper, I'm not going to stay long on these setup scriptures. I'm going to mention it to you, possibly read the verse and go on because they are setups to the actual witnesses. Okay. The first setup scripture is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. I'm going to repeat it again just in case you're writing it down. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 21, the word of God says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye shall follow his steps. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, which tells us that when Christ walked this earth, he walked this earth not only to the point where he became the sacrifice, but he also walked this earth being an example for us to follow in his steps. So when we study about Christ in the scriptures, we don't need to just see him as the Lamb of God, because that's what he is, and the sacrifice, that's what he is. But we must see him as the example. Okay? I hope you got that right there. The example. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, that's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. My second set of scripture would be Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And I believe it's going to be verse 16. Matthew 3, chapter 3, verse 16. Now, I want to get this right. No, I'm sorry. That's wrong information. Okay. John 3, 16. Excuse me. John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. That's the correct scripture. That's my next set of scripture. John chapter 3, verse 16. Amen. And the word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, we know this scripture referred to Jesus. And Jesus is referred to as a son. Okay? Hallelujah. A son. Or the only begotten son. Okay? His God's only begotten son. But he's referred to as a son. Okay? So we see from Peter and from Jesus here, recorded in John, that Jesus is referred to as the Son of God. He's referred to as a son, but the Son of God. And he is also was here to be an example for us to follow in his steps. So what he went through, he said that we're going to go through. The only thing we can't be is the sacrifice. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So that's the first two set of scripture. Now, the last set of scripture is John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Now, the other two scriptures I look at, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, John chapter 3, verse 16. And now the third set of scripture is John chapter 1, verse 11 to verse 13. Okay? John chapter 1, verse 11 to verse 13. Now, the word of God says, he, which is Jesus, came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Okay? So, according to John here, to those that received Christ and believe on his name, he gave them power where they also became sons. Okay? Now we're finna go into our witnesses, okay? Tonight, praise be to God, that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So our first witness is going to be Matthew. So let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Very first verse, our first witness that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. That's the message that the Lord wants the people to hear today. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Now look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. It said, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into where? The wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It said, then was Jesus. Now remember what John told us. Jesus said in John chapter 3, he is referred to as the Son of God. So then was Jesus, the Son of God, was led what? Of the Spirit of God. Do you see that? So the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So this is the first evidence that if you are a son, which according to John 1, if you have received Christ as Lord and believed on his name, became born of the Spirit of God, then you're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. See, you have some who are professing to be believers. some who are professing to be, quote, church folks, who wants to live their life doing their own thing. And this is why you get some of them, they get upset when you talk to them about being led by the Spirit. When some of you can attain to what I'm saying. You ever seen a, quote, brother or sister doing something out of the way, out of the order, not in the way of God, and you went over to him and said, well, brother, sister, let me talk to you for a minute. You know, when we're doing certain things, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Well, you don't understand, and blah, blah, blah. And you'd be like, why are they getting so upset? Because some people don't want to hear that. They want to claim to be a believer, but don't want to submit to being led.
Mm-hmm.
And see, here's the thing. When you talk to people, when people say, well, listen, how do you know the witness of the Spirit, blah, blah, blah? Well, here's the question. How does a married man get to know his wife? And how does a married wife get to know her husband? One of the things they got to do is what? Spend time with each other. See, God knows you, but you got to get to know him. But once again, the only way you'll know the Spirit of God is you got to spend time with God in two areas. What? In his word and in prayer. But here's the thing of why God is sending this message. Some of us have become too busy. We have talked about, oh, I need to get in the word more. Oh, I need to pray more. Oh, I need to spend time with God more. And all it has become is talk. You're not putting the effort to do. Now, some of you will say, well, you know, I want to do it, Brother Nate, but I'm so busy. Let me tell you something. I want to say this. And some of you may say, well, you being judgmental, you may be wrong, and blah, blah, blah. I love you in the Lord, but you can say what you want to say. This is what I have found out personally. When you're talking about you too busy to spend time in the word, spend time in prayer, I guarantee you, in fact, I put my life on it. If you went to God in honesty and said, Lord, I desire to spend more time with you in your word and in prayer. But Lord, it seems like I'm swamped. I have no time, blah, blah, blah. I guarantee you, when God get finished, he'll show you that you actually have time.
Mm-hmm.
See, one of the problems that's going on with the people, with some, is that you don't want to stop doing the other things you're doing. To some, those other things are more exciting than spending time with God. Well, I'm just being real about it, people. Because if we're going to talk about being real about it, let's talk about being real. Let's be real about it. To some, it's more exciting in doing this other stuff than it is spending time with God. And see, what's happening, you're starting to venture into areas that is not godly. You're starting to do things that are not godly. In fact, when you don't want to spend time with God, you become more lenient on secular stuff. You become more lenient on worldly stuff. You'll start taking in more worldly information than godly information. And then when you're told something of an answer from the word of God, you won't accept it because it don't fit what you think. Amen? And so you're on one side claiming to be a believer, but on the other side, you don't want to spend time with God. And I'm here to tell you, that's not going to work out. And so the Lord's message today is that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Now, notice something else about this first verse. Notice it said Jesus was led up of the Spirit. Okay, we got that. We got that down pat. Where? Into the wilderness. What? Why? To be tempted of the devil. Say what? See, some of you have put on the thinking to think that when you're being led by the Spirit of God, you're going to be led into pleasant places. Huh. I'm sorry, you're not. Now, notice it didn't say he was led into committing sin. It didn't say that. He was led into a place to be tempted by the devil. But God, the Father, expected the Son to be victorious. And so in your life, as you will be led by the Spirit of God into your wilderness or into a wilderness, God is not leading you there expecting you to lose. He's leading you to that place expecting you to be victorious. because this is part of your growth process. Amen. But see, some of us don't want to go through that. In fact, some of us don't even like confrontation. Now, don't get me wrong. Confrontation is not appealing. But you get to the point, you dodging it. If you feel that confrontation is coming on, I'm talking about not just by anything, but let's say by standing on the word of truth. You'll shrivel up and be quiet. Some of you, the Spirit of God has been giving you a word to tell you to speak up, and you won't because you're afraid. You're afraid of confrontation. And so you're denying the prompting of the Spirit. But at the other end, you're saying, okay, you know, I'm a child of God. Okay, but the spirit of fear is ruling. And some of us are doing it because we want to stay like. We want to be like. Well, let's be real about it, people. We want to be liked by people. I have faced that before in my life. But you know what? I had to make a decision. Is it going to be Jesus or man? And see, only you can make that decision. You can go to your pastor all day and say, Pastor, what should I do? And more or less your pastor, if being a man of God, would tell you, say, hey, you need to go with Jesus. But guess who it come down to? You. Because even though your pastor may tell you that, when it goes back to the go back, it's you. You got to make that decision. So Jesus was led of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So every place you're going to be led to is not going to be a bed of roses. Some of you are looking to be led into places where people are standing there with open arms and say, wow, we were just so glad to see you, and patting you on the back. I'm sorry. See, that's why I really got great respect for the people who, the born-again believers, who God is sending to these other countries. You understand what I'm saying? See, we serve some things here, but they really going through over there. I got great respect for them. You know what? See, they're the ones, the missionaries. They're the ones who standing there and say, Lord, I'm available, send me. And so God said, hey, I want you to carry my gospel. This is what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to them. I want you to carry my gospel to such and such nation. So when you flip over the information, you'll say, well, God, that nation, their God is Buddha. God said, I know that. I want you to go over there and carry them the gospel. What? Is that a comfortable place? No. But some of y'all think, oh, God wouldn't leave me over there. Okay. Okay. Because you know what? God loves those people too, and he wants them to hear the gospel also. You understand what I'm saying? So you want to be led into places where, once again, everything's good, lovely, pats on the back. No. You're going to be led to places where you come around people that can't stand your guts. But guess what? If you stand firm in Christ, you're going to win some of those souls. You're going to win some of those souls of those people who, when you first walked up, they hate you, couldn't stand you, didn't want to be around you. Okay? Yeah, I know it comes up time you'd be like, Lord, why you got me here? You know? To be as a light, letting the light of Christ shine through you. Some of these big-time televangelists, when they go into these other countries, a lot of them go into these other countries where there's a Coca-Cola or McDonald's or something like that. They don't want to go real deep in the woods, in the trenches. They'll go so far and stop. Okay? Amen. But they don't want to go deep in the places or into the places where these countries really strongly believe in Buddha and Hinduism and willing to put their hands on you and beat you up. We don't want to go over there. Amen. So I got great respect for the missionaries who are being led by the Spirit of God. Why was they able to be led? Because they said, Lord, I'm available to take your gospel. Use me. And God is sending them. I say God is sending them. Hallelujah. Oh, a great reward they're going to have. A great reward they're going to have. Now, let's go to our second witness. It's going to be Paul. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Our second witness is Paul. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 8. This is our second witness. Thank you. He double shot the glory. Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Remember the message tonight? It's the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory. Halabashata. Thank God for the witnessing of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Now look what the Word of God says. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, let's look at this verse at the way Paul said it. It's like Paul was trying to get over to the people to point out who really are the sons of God. He said, those that are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons. So here's a question. If, and let's be real about it. If you don't want to take the time out to get to know God, that's in taking time out with him in the word and in prayer, because that's the only way you're going to know his Spirit and be led by his Spirit. But you're claiming to be a believer or one of the church folks. My question is, are you really a son? Because the word said, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the son. So Paul is giving you specific information of who is a son. The son is the one that's led by the Spirit of God. And you know how they led? Because remember, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. They're led by the Spirit of God because they want to be led. I say it again. They are led by the Spirit of God because they want to be led. Some people don't want to be led. They want to do their own thing. And they hear others testify that at a time when they're led by the Spirit of God, they had to, quote, wait on some things. Oh, did I say that word, wait? Yes, I did. They like, oh, wait a minute. Wait, I don't know. I don't believe I could do that. So now this being led by the Spirit of God stuff, you don't want to hear it because you don't want to wait on nothing. Or you want to do things the way you think it should be done. And this is why you got many or some not even consulting God on life moves and movements of their life. Because they fail to understand when you came to Christ, your life belongs to Jesus now. But see, they don't want to do that. They still want to claim Jesus, but live their own life. So if I'm like that, why should I consult Jesus? Well, hey, man, I'm gonna say some of the things that some may have on their mind, but they just didn't want to come out and ask it, okay? But no, you don't have to consult them if you don't want to. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't, it ain't going to work for you. And if you don't consult them, you're going down the wrong road. Remember, you got a free will, people. You got a free will. You can either choose to be led or not. That's why he said, men are led by the Spirit, they are the Son. They're led because they want to be led. They are submitting to being led. When you're at a point where you're not submitting to being led, guess what? If you're running around here too busy, you're not submitting to being led. Amen. Now, I want to throw another example at you. Now, you hear times among us in Christianity, we talk about, hey, we got to step out by faith. And that's true. That's true. But I want to throw a little something in there where we miss it in such a statement, okay? Yes, we do need to step out in faith, but we don't need to step out in faith without the Holy Ghost. Some people are claiming, oh, we're just going to go by faith. We're going to step out in faith. They're stepping out in faith, but without being open to hearing the Spirit. You know, it's just like, if I had a brother Christian who needed a new car, and the car he got is either half running, not running, putting him down, and so all of a sudden he decided to say, you know what, the Lord knows I need a new car, and I talked to him about it, I'm going to step out by faith. So let's say he leave the house, and he's going to car lots, and he see this car in his car lot, he said, that's the one I want. And he's going to go for it because he's stepping out by faith. Well, here's the question. What if the Spirit of the Lord don't want him to go to that lot and get that car? What if the Spirit of the Lord is speaking in his spirit, telling him no, but he wants that car so bad, but he's going to quote scriptures and say, well, you know, I don't know, it just seemed like I shouldn't go, but I'm going to quote because God said he would supply all my needs and blah, 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 blah. Let me let you know something. If the Spirit of God is telling you go one direction, and you think you're going to quote scriptures to go another direction, it ain't going to work, people, because you cannot use the word of God against the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God is always going to work in conjunction with the word. So if you're assisting in your spirit not to do something, you need to heed it. Just because you're quoting scriptures to justify you doing it, it ain't going to work out. You know, Brother Kenneth Hagin, I give an example of him a lot. And many of y'all may know what I'm talking about, and I hope I'm telling this right. I know the overall theme I am, but maybe some of the information. But I remember he was thinking about going into this business deal, and I think it required him to put money into it. And I don't know, I don't remember if it was the Spirit of God telling him not to do it or an angel that was to be sent by the Lord to tell him not to do it. But somehow, I don't know if he got the message or something like that, but anyhow, he decided, because he wanted to do it so bad, he started quoting scriptures. Scriptures to support that God would support him in doing it. I remind you, through the Spirit of God, he's already been told not to, you know, not to do it. But he went to ignore it and call himself going up in faith and speaking the scriptures. Well, what happened? Well, to make a long story short, he lost all of his money. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he said he had to cash in some insurance premium or policies or something to get money to make ends meet. Well, he suffered. Why? First of all, he let you know, and I forgot what book it is I got he told the story in, you cannot use the word of God against the Spirit of God. And once again, some of you would say, well, how would I know the witness of the Spirit? You got to spend time with God. When you petition God, say, God, I want to know the witness of your spirit, you don't just say that. You spend time with him in that word and in prayer, and you're going to find out the witness of the Spirit. But once again, we're too busy, busy, busy. And see, this is why now you're hitting into more walls than you normally hit into now. Because now the time is up. God was merciful with you on certain things. Now it's time for lesson time. But he wants you to know sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. If you are a son, hallelujah, you're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. The sons of God don't say, well, I just want to do my own thing and, you know, let God, if I get in trouble and need God to come and get me out. The sons of God will spend time with God to get to know his spirit. That's what a son would do. That's what God wants you to know. God wants you to know a son will be led by his spirit. And if a son don't know his spirit, and remember now, sonship covers male and female. Don't forget that. Just like the word man in every scripture don't mean male. It means male and female. Word man is short for mankind. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's go to witness number three. Let's go to book of Acts chapter 16. Third witness is Luke. Book of Acts chapter 16. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. The book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. We're looking at witness number 3. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. The book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. Now look at verse 6. It said, Now who is the day? This is Paul and Silas. And you know Paul was a born-again believer. He fits the bill in John chapter 1. And many that believe and receive Jesus, to them he gave the power to become what? Sons of God. So Paul and Silas were sons of God, okay? So now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, what happened? And were forbidden of the who? Not of their pastors, not of their mamas and daddies, not of their friends, not even of their brethren. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So the Holy Ghost forbid them to preach the word. So they didn't preach it there. So what that mean? That mean they were led by the Spirit of God. You understand what I'm saying? Even though they was going out preaching, as we say, going out in faith, they was open to hearing the Spirit. And to show you they were led by the Spirit of God in doing that, when the Holy Ghost forbid them, and I want to click my brother on here. God bless you, brother. Bless you, brother. Amen, but he didn't hung up now. So even though they was going forward to preach the gospel, they left themselves open for the hearing of the Spirit. So the Spirit forbid them to preach the word in Asia. So if they wasn't going to be led by the Spirit, they would have went on and tried to preach the word in Asia anyhow. Do you see what I'm saying? So even though they were stepping out in faith to preach the gospel, they left themselves open for the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. See, they didn't think that they minds to say, man, these people need the word in Asia. We're going to preach it. No, they was moving, but open to the leading of the Spirit. Now, verse 7 says, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed or tried to go into Bithynia. But, once again, the Spirit suffered them not. What? Yeah, the Spirit. Okay, so now they study submitting to the leading of the Spirit. See, they tried to go into Bithynia. But see, the Spirit suffered them not to go there. Once again, if they weren't being led by the Spirit of God, by them being sons, they would have just went on to Bithynia and say, you know, these people need to hear the gospel here. We're just going to go ahead and do. No, they left themselves open for the leading of the Spirit. See, what we got going on in the church, we got too much going our way or what we think. And we're not leading ourselves open to the Spirit of God. So it said in verse 8, and they passed by Mysia, came to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. See, now they still being led by the Spirit of God. They going to the place where the Lord had them to go. Amen. Now, they didn't go into the place where they think they should go. See, remember, these other two places, they were heading to go there to preach the gospel, but see, the Spirit of the Lord forbid them to go there. See, that's why you got to leave yourself open to the Spirit. But see, there are those who are claiming to be professing believers, but you're going on doing your own thing. Even, get this, the work of the Lord. And many churches, the Spirit of the Lord has been pushed out now. Now we are stuck on ceremonies, genders, organization without Jesus. Now don't get me wrong, I'm for organization. And tell you the truth, God was the one that started organization. But however, if I'm going to organize a program, I need to put on there rules are subject to change by the leading of the Holy Spirit and actually mean what I say. Because what if you had on the program, 1 o'clock, we had to do scripture study, and what if the Holy Ghost is moving for you to lay hands on people? What do you do? Say, oh, well, we need to keep to the schedule. No, you're not being led by the Spirit of God. You're going by your agenda. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I know some of you said, well, man, you don't know, because God know we trying to do this thing. Yeah, he know, but he wants things done his way, not your way. Because if it be done more your way, you'll start telling God what to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, let's look at one more witness. Let's go. The angel of the Lord, the Elijah, who came, who was sent by the Lord Jesus with message 114, which is the 114th time that Jesus sent the Elijah, mentioned in Matthew 17, Malachi chapter 4. He's also the messenger in Malachi 3. Is also mentioned in Acts chapter 3. Amen. Now, and this message was sent out August the 23rd, 1992. August the 23rd, 1992. By Jesus Christ through his angel. And I want to read to you what he says. He says, I leave peace with you, and will come again as the need shall be. The Lord's Spirit shall lead and function. Now, who is he talking to? Well, in this here is to the people of God, to born-again believers, to sons of God. And he said, the Spirit shall lead and function. Why do we think when you got saved that the Lord put his Spirit in you? He did not put his Spirit in your spirit just to sit there. The Spirit of the Lord is in you for a purpose, for a reason. And one of the reasons is to lead. Not to just sit there. And see, some of us don't know this because we are in ignorance about the word. We don't spend no time getting in the word. Some of us is not being even taught in the churches the word of God on this subject. Amen. Hallelujah. And see, the Lord is doing the restoring of all things in the last day. And there are going to be believers who are going to be restored back to the place in standing as sons of God and being led by the Spirit of God. Because we have gotten out of the way. You said, well, what do you mean, Brother Nate? Because the focus has been a whole lot on the world. And it seems like the churches has become started becoming jealous. Oh, I know people say, oh, okay, now they're just a hard word. No. They start getting to a point where they envy sinners. Because to some, it looked like that sinner man gets to do. He's doing whatever he want to do, whatever he want to feel. He's living his own life, blah, blah, blah. And here I'm told that Jesus, I got to be led by the Spirit of God. And now what has happened, some of us have looked at that and we said, oh, I want to live just like here. I want to live my own life. Amen. Hallelujah. And not standing in the place as sons like we should be. But the Lord is doing a work in these last days. He's going to bring a restoration in that area. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. But his message tonight is the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So if you want to keep on with your own way, I'm not talking about talking the game. Anybody can talk a good game, okay? I'm talking about if you talk the game, you put it into play. If you talk about, I want to know more of the Word of God and I know I need to study, then do it. Quit just talking about it. Talking about it ain't going to get the job done, people. Amen. If you know, well, I know I need to pray, you know, I need to spend more time with God. Because I've heard more people say that. And when they said that, I knew in my spirit they weren't going to do it. Because now some people are stuck on what they say to you. And they believe that what they say to you is enough. Either to give you the impression that they're going to do it when they know they're not. And see, some stuff, I want to say, we bring on ourselves or we get into ourselves. I guarantee you, some of the stuff you let God just show you, you got into some stuff where you didn't even have to get into it. But because you liked it, you got into it. Oh, I think I'll do this thing. Okay, that may take up an hour and a half of your time. Oh, I like doing this. And then you go over and do that. That may take up another 2 hours. So now with work and all those other things, now you're saying, I don't have no time. I sure need time, but I don't have no time. I know of people that who would talk about, well, you know, I need to get in the Word more. And they will work on the job where I'm at. And it was even work anywhere from 8 to 7 hours. But get this. You would think when they get off work, they go and, you know, having a chance, they would go and sit down. No. I had one guy tell me, well, he going to get ready to go off work. Get off work. He said, well, getting off work to go to work. I said, get off work to go to work. Yeah, I got to do blah, blah, blah. I got to do blah, blah, and blah, blah, blah. And found out he sits down, when he finally sits down at night to eat, he off to sleep. Now, let me ask you something. Where's the time with the Lord? There is none. And this is where many of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are doing that same pattern. You know, you're talking about, I need to spend more time with God. I need to get in the Word. Need to do blah, blah, blah. You're doing so much stuff that your body has become so worn down that when you're getting off work and going to the house, you got enough strength to eat. But as soon as you get finished eating and sitting in that recliner chair, boom, you out. And you might be out for 2 or 3 hours. By the time you open your eyes and wake up, it's time to go to bed. And so what you do, you get ready, take your shower, bath, whatever you do, boom, you go to bed. Now you're finna go to another day. Where was the time for the Lord? And see, some of us are riding on this, well, you know, God's merciful and he loves us. He do, but he ain't crazy. You think by saying that, that's going to get you by. That's not going to get you by. Because you're going to find out that knowing that word for yourself and standing on that word is going to help you against the devil. And you're also going to find out if you don't know that word, not getting in that word and spending time with Christ, this stuff is going to intensify people and you're not going to be able to stand. Now, some of you may say, that's a harsh thing to say. No, that's the truth. I tell anybody this day, the number one answer is Jesus. Without him, you can't stand. And I say that this day, still saying it and staying on it. You can't make it without him. I don't care who you are. I don't care how successful you've been on this earth. I don't care how popular your name is. You cannot make it without him. You can't make it. Hallelujah. Huh. You're not going to make it. You may be looking at some of these Hollywood stars and singers on TV. They're just looking like they're just living a life. They're jumping around and doing whatever and saying whatever and then seeing and all that. Well, guess what? The time is coming for them. It's coming for them. Some of them is going to go through stuff so bad, they're going to repent and get saved. I didn't say all of them, but some of them will. Amen. Hallelujah. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Let that ring in your spirit. I pray that those words ring in the spirit. Those of you that have been so busy running around back and forth, you know you ain't spend no time with God. I pray that those words will ring in your spirit to a point you stop dead in your tracks and say, I got to cut this out. I got to do something about it. Listen, I know personally, because that didn't happen to me more than a few times before. God had to get me back straight. Amen. And see, you always got to leave yourself room for improvement in your life. Some of y'all have gotten revelation from God. And what happened was you became comfortable. You became settled. Because God gave me a dream about the end time, or he gave me a vision. Well, thank God for that. But you riding on that. And you riding the coattails of it so strong that you think that that's the thing that's going to keep you. That you can lay claim to a dream or vision God gave to you. Well, we thank God for the dream or vision he gave you. But that ain't going to keep you, okay? You got to know the word. Hallelujah. That's why some people are being deceived in these last days, because they don't know the word. And Jesus told us in Matthew 24, many shall come in his name, and they shall deceive many. They're going to be successful in deceiving many. Why? One of the reasons is that the people they're going to deceive don't know the word. So you can try to ride on your own strength all you want to. You're going to find out the hard way your own strength ain't going to bring you through what the devil going to throw at you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, for once again another blessed day in the Lord. Father, I thank you for being God and ruler of all things. I thank you for watching over and keeping me. I thank you for everyone that has been listening to this broadcast. And Lord God, I pray that you will bless them, strengthen them in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. Strengthen them for your glory. And Lord, water the seed that you've had me to sow in the name of Jesus, and bring forth the increase. In Jesus' almighty name I pray, and Father, I thank you. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Once again, don't forget that Brother Manny comes on Monday night. Lord, say the same. Look for the advertisement tomorrow night, Monday. Praise be to God. So I thank God for all of you that have been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you, and may he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. My God.